This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Cara Lawrence. There are 9 productions in the new season of theater at Western Michigan University, everything from Shakespeare to The Wiz. Behind the scenes, the faculty and students are prepping everything from scripts to sets to advertising as they launch a nonstop year of drama, comedy, musicals, and more. Emily Duguay is the director of theater arts management. Her students learn the ins and outs of putting on a show and pulling in audiences. Jay Berkow is the director of music theater. He says the season is designed with care by the faculty under the guidance of department chair Joan Harrington.
I think there's 3 things that are really important when we're picking our seasons. And our seasons are really a collaborative effort from the entire department when we're putting together the season. Really, everyone in the department has kind of a voice in the kinds of shows we do. We call it a matrix, and we kind of try to help make sure that each student in a 4-year progression gets exposed to a wide variety of theater, whether it's classical theater, whether it's a traditional musical, whether it's something very edgy and contemporary, whether it's something that's kind of very basic or what we might, you know, without a lot of costumes and props, or something that's very period, so that the students get a wide variety of experiences within a 4-year time constraint. So that's kind of one element that we consider. The other is our casting pool. We want to make sure that the shows that we do are going to utilize the talents of the students that we have and push them to grow so that each show is an experience that they will learn from. And then finally, I think kind of the last element, and probably the most important element, and whether you're doing something that's traditional, classical, contemporary, new, it has to be relevant to the world we're living in. And even if you're going to do, say we're going to do Romeo and Juliet this season, what about Romeo and Juliet? What about this classic Shakespeare play is relevant to our society now? And obviously, there's a reason Romeo and Juliet is a classic play, because it always has relevancy. But there's something specific about what our director, Ben Reigel, is going to be doing with it that is going to make it about young people in marriages, young people in relationships that are disapproved of by their parents or by their social groups. And so the relevancy of the piece and making it kind of contemporary. And so that's my challenge, say, for Showboat, and for The Wiz, and I'll talk about those as we get to them in our conversation. But finding what about this piece is going to speak to our audience, which is a really unique and hybrid audience that Emily is very much in charge of kind of bringing to the theater, this real kind of wonderful group of people that come together and share an experience. And for me, one of the most rewarding things as a director here at Western is doing a show where you see that audience come together, you see what such a wide, disparate group of audience members come together and share an experience and come out of the theater as a kind of a more unified group of people that have all had kind of the same emotional journey.
So, Emily, in what way are you involved in the growth of students at Western?
Yeah, well, my students are studying to be arts managers, which can mean a variety of things, but we are the budget keepers. We are the arts marketers. We are the fundraisers. We can be producers, artistic directors. So programming is a big piece of that. The other thing that we have to consider as a department, in addition to what Jay was saying, and it sort of speaks to how it relates to our audience, but we have to sell tickets. And so that's the role of my office and my students, to be honest. They are as charged with selling tickets as I am. So we put together this season that also has to bring in an audience, because we're not supported, the production program's not supported by the university. So we're box office driven, which keeps us competitive. And what's great about that for my students studying arts management, we function like a small nonprofit professional theater, not even small. 9 productions in the time that we do them is a lot. And we have to stay competitive with every producing organization in town. And that's what's great about Kalamazoo, supportive, certainly, of the arts, but it also keeps us all on our toes because we share an audience. Us as a university theater have to go after those same patrons that the Farmers Alley Theater and the Civic Theater and Miller Auditorium, all of these producing theaters in Kalamazoo, are. And that's a fabulous challenge and opportunity for our students, because we put them very much on the front lines of that work. They are getting practical hands-on experience. And so that's the role of my office in a myriad of ways. We support the work getting to the stage.
What are some very immediate things that students learn when they join the arts management program at Western?
Well, the first thing I engage them in, they go through in the 4 years that they're in my office, they have their hands on every part of the process. And it might be something like putting together the programs, which is, just one skill, to managing a fundraising campaign, you know, getting an annual appeal out the door, to being involved in program selection and talking about, okay, we have this season now, how are we going to sell it? Are we going to put a theme around this thing that speaks to our audiences? And there's venue management as well. I mean, I don't have students that are doing a lot of venue management professionally, but at our theaters, when you come, those students that are there in the evening are running the show. And they may not be venue managers they may not choose that as their path, their career path, but they're certainly learning to do it. So customer service, how do I manage the box office? Everything from the first marketing piece you see through point of sale of those tickets to arriving at the theater and having that personal contact with a house manager or an usher. That's probably what they start with.
Doesn't sound very like artsy fartsy.
Yeah, well, it's business, right? I mean, it's business. We ultimately in the professional world, we're responsible for, you know, negotiating contracts, managing budgets, helping producers make tough decisions about shows, you know, so that's what their future is. We're able to provide them a pretty good real world experience with a lot of that, given how our season is produced, which is great.
And the students, their counterparts on the performance side, you're driving them to be as professional as possible as well.
That is our goal. You know, it's interesting because I think that one of my personal goals, and I know this is shared by all of the faculty in the performance area, is to make sure that our students are really ready to face the professional world, whether they're planning to move to New York or Chicago or LA or smaller markets, that they are competitive. But at the same time, it's our goal to nurture their unique and exciting talents. And you know, I always tell them, look, there's always going to be someone that's taller than you or shorter than you or funnier than you or sings higher than you or can kick their leg higher or can do more turns or maybe prettier or thinner or curvier, but there's never going to be someone who's you. One of the things that's really exciting about Western's program in the arts is, and this is not just in theater, but in music and in dance as well, is that we're really looking for artists who want to grow and explore during their 4 years here and take chances. And, you know, if we have like a Robin Williams walks in the door, we don't want to say, no, we can't take that student because they're too off the wall. They're too different. We want to embrace that student and say, okay, you know, we're going to train you so that you have the technical capability of being a singer on Broadway. But at the same time, we never want to squelch their creativity and what makes them really exciting and unique. And we want to also feature that in their chances to perform. And at the same time, I want to make sure that they are ready, that this is a really competitive industry. And we can't be completely artsy-fartsy because when they graduate, they have to be their own business. They have to be their own marketing department. They have to be their own product. And so they have to stay physically healthy. They have to be emotionally strong enough to face this industry. And then they have to make some choices about where they think they, as an artist, will best be viable, whether it's in a New York market or L.A., or whether it's in Grand Rapids or in Detroit. So we want to make sure that they have the tools to be competitive and they can also make their own choices.
This season at Western Michigan University, the students will be challenged by and learn from 9 productions, as Emily said, 2 of which are full-blown musicals of the highest caliber that audiences everywhere know and love. But let's start with how the season begins.
We are opening with Christopher Durang's Baby with the Bathwater. And I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with Durang, but Christopher Durang is really one of the most uniquely, darkly comic voices in American playwriting. And we're bringing in a guest director, David Alpert, who is actually an alum from our program, who has gone on to a very exciting career in New York. He's been the associate director of several Broadway shows, including the musical If Then, as well as the Tony Award-winning Trip to Bountiful, and Guys and Dolls, and The Best Man. And he's been in Kalamazoo relatively recently because he directed yet another Christopher Durang play at Farmer's Alley. He directed a production of Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, mm-hmm. Which is a more recent Durang play. And Durang's voice as a player, I directed a Durang play at Western a few years ago. It's a challenge as a director because, you know, basically you have to treat it very seriously. The actors have to take it very seriously because his themes are all kind of very serious. And this particular piece is about parenthood. And Baby with the Bathwater is about this couple that in many respects are really incapable of raising a child and make every mistake parenthood could possibly have. And so it promises to be hilarious, edgy, dark, fun, and particularly if you're a parent or ever had a parent, which I think should include everybody, it will ring very true.
And I think you could probably safely leave the theater thinking I did a better job than that.
Yes.
I would hope so. And we're thrilled
You'll
to have David
confirmed.
With us.
Yeah.
And he's going to be such a great, great experience for our students to work with someone, you know, who's come from this program and has gone on to such a successful career in New York and will be such a great, great resource for them in their career. So that's exciting, too.
That starts September 23rd, continues through October 8th. Tickets and full details on single tickets and the season pass are available at WMUtheater.com. And we continue with a show you mentioned, Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet by a somewhat well-known playwright, William Shakespeare. And this is directed by our faculty colleague, Ben Reigel, and opens October 7th. And it promises to be, Ben is a fight choreographer at heart. So it promises to be full of actually a lot of action, mm-hmm. And very passionate. And I think his take on it is to really develop the idea of this kind of young, passionate, sexually charged teenagers dealing with this kind of onslaught of, you know, all this kind of social stricture that's put on them by the outside world. So we'll see where he takes it. It's exciting.
Yeah, and one question we've gotten a lot, just to confirm for listeners, this is going to be a fairly period classic production. It's not going to have a modern concept placed on it. You know, that's been a question that we've had a lot. So this will be a relatively classic production in terms of its period and costuming.
Looks like we move that same month from tragedy to comedy.
Well, The Foreigner is an absolute fun farce. It's just pure silliness.
Charlie, the foreign visitor, he is not a foreigner. He's just painfully shy. And so, yes, there are lots of stories which I couldn't even pretend to untangle right now. But
people are
mistaken
told that
identity
he doesn't understand.
And, yes, people are told that he doesn't, that they think that he doesn't understand what they're saying. And so, but he's, of course, understanding all of it, which then causes a whole series of things to bubble up and then fall apart. And so it's very funny. It's this very proper British man enters this fishing lodge and he gets more than he bargained for. But it's a lot of fun.
The Foreigner opens October 28th and continues through November 6th. The details are at WMUtheater.com. Beginning November 11th, it's time for all hands on deck for one of the great musicals of our time, Showboat. Jay, what is so significant about this piece?
Showboat is probably, I think it's really kind of the grandfather of the contemporary American musical. And when I teach musical theater history, Showboat was written in 1927, or opened in Broadway in 1927. Of course, the fabulous score by Jerome Kern and book and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein. And it tells the story about this musical theater family that are on a showboat that travels up and down the Mississippi. And I've been working on the piece all summer, and I reread the novel by Edna Ferber, who actually is from Kalamazoo, which is our mm-hmm. Kalamazoo connection.
Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness.
Yes. So
Edna Ferber,
Edna Ferber, who wrote the novel Kalamazoo. Showboat. Which was originally a serial novel. It was originally published, you know, one chapter at a time in a magazine.
And like then, Dickens.
Very much like Dickens, actually. And then, so when Jerome Kern first encountered the piece, he didn't know the ending. He was reading the serial chapters, and he was like, this would be a wonderful musical. And he contacted Edna Ferber, and he said, you know, how's this thing end? And so they started developing the musical, which would become Showboat. When the show opened on Broadway, the audience was so affected by the piece that they didn't even know how to react, because it was the first time that characters in a musical actually were real. They were believable people, and that the story had emotional weight, while the score was this glorious kind of hybrid of operetta, jazz, a little bit of gospel thrown in. So it's this wonderful hybrid American, purely American score of great music, including Can't Stop Loving That Man of Mine and Old Man River, all of the great, great songs from musical theater, told against the backdrop of this story about this American family and the idea that no matter what happens, and believe me, a lot of things happen in this family, and you're like, this was written in 1927 because it deals with racism, it deals with misogyny, it deals with single parenting, it deals with a lot of subjects that you're like, really? This is really intense stuff. And that no matter what happens, kind of like the metaphor of the Mississippi River, it just keeps rolling along, and that you can't let life pull you underwater. This is the first musical that I've actually done in conjunction with Western Symphony Orchestra. So Bruce Achimura is actually going to be the music director for this production of Showboat, and we are going to be doing Showboat with approximately a 30-piece orchestra in the pit, which, as far as I know, has never been done in Kalamazoo.
That's such a luxury.
It's going to be probably the most lushly musical production we've ever heard. Yes. And Bruce and I have been working all summer on kind of working on how and all of the musical elements that are going to go into this production. And David Little is actually the vocal director for the show as well. So I'm working in conjunction with a lot of School of Music faculty. And it promises to be just literally the most glorious music you've ever heard on stage, I hope.
It's a big, big production. It opens November 11th and continues through the 20th at Western Michigan University. Details at WMUtheater.com. Always at the beginning of December, the theater department hosts a performer with remarkable skills and talent and a career they can talk about and share with students. I'm wondering if you can tell us who that will be, Jay.
We actually have a surprise. Every year for the past 12 years, Emily and I have been bringing in a Broadway star to work particularly with the graduating class of the Music Theater Performance Program to get them ready to do their showcases in Chicago and in New York. But they also perform for Kalamazoo audiences at what we call Next Stop Broadway. And we could not be more thrilled to announce that we are bringing Patrick Cassidy to Western Michigan University. And that name may sound familiar,
yes,
because he, in fact, is the movie star, the television star and the Broadway star, Patrick Cassidy, who is the youngest son of Shirley Jones and Jack Cassidy, and the younger brother of Sean Cassidy and David Cassidy of the Partridge Family. So, yes, he is. And his mother is Academy Award winner Shirley Jones.
He has credentials.
Patrick himself is no slouch as an artist. He has been in numerous Broadway shows. He was the lead in Annie Get Your Gun on Broadway and in Aida on Broadway. He was telling me he was last in Kalamazoo with the national tour of Joseph, I believe, where he was arrested. So I'm for some parking violation. So hopefully the police will let him
I
off
need to
on
book
that.
This interview now. I gotta hear the story on
But he was most recently, he actually, he had a principal role on the TV show Smallville. I remember him from a movie he did back in 1990. He was the lead in a movie that was kind of a very devastating film called Longtime Companion, which you may remember, which was kind of probably the first kind of the first AIDS movie that was produced in the United States. So he's a tremendous guy, super talented. He's actually right now doing a show with Shirley Jones called If You Don't Know Shirley.
This is a limited engagement. How many nights will we be able to see Patrick in person on stage?
It is one weekend only, three nights only, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And it is in our Williams Theater in cabaret setting, which is lovely, and it's not in the big house. So, yeah, three nights only.
Okay. Full details at WMUtheater.com. Mm-hmm. We've just reached the halfway point in the season, roughly, where we'll break for Christmas and return with a drama, I think. It's called Women of Lockerbie.
Women of Lockerbie by Deborah Brevoort. This is kind of a poetic drama, and it's based on the Pan Am tragedy, the plane crash, and the kind of the women of Lockerbie, Scotland, where the plane crashed, are kind of trying to help all the people and the families that crashed there. And it's going to be directed by Kate Thompson, who is, again, an alum who actually now teaches here as one of our faculty members.
And you may have seen on the stage at Farmers Alley Theater. She's performed there and will be again this fall. It's a beautiful play. I saw the original production in New York City, and that's in our small, intimate space. So it'll be a lovely story to be told in the York Theater.
January 27th through February 12th are the dates for Women of Lockerbie. The next play is a drama, also written by a woman, Chiara Alegria Udes. It begins February 10th. It's called Water by the Spoonful.
This is an intense piece of theater. It's a Pulitzer Prize-winning piece. It's a lyrical piece of theater about substance abuse, primarily. And it will really push students. It will push students to have to really kind of identify with these characters, to understand something that some of them have experience with in their families and their friends, and some of them, this is going to be something that's very new and very painful, and a place for them to go. And as actors and directors and students of theater here, you can't emotionally convey the truth of a character without understanding who that character is. And so we're asking our students to go to a very dark and dangerous place for them to understand these characters and to tell these stories. So it should be a really intense experience for the faculty and the cast working on the show, and I think a really moving experience for our audience.
Yeah, here's where art or theater can be a useful companion to all the news stories that you're trying to process, you know.
That's right.
It can be a way to really integrate things for people. That runs February 10th through the 19th. And we then go to Jeremy Thatcher.
Jeremy Thatcher. All right, so Jeremy Thatcher. Okay, this is definitely not an adult piece. This is for children. This is a world premiere. Western Michigan University has basically commissioned Tucker Rafferty, a local playwright and producer-director, to adapt the kind of famous children's book by Bruce Coville, Jeremy Thatcher, Dragon Thatcher, which is this kind of wonderful fantasy novel about this young boy who comes across a dragon egg and actually finds himself responsible for... I'm not going to get into the kind of the interdimensional elements that are part of the story, but it's this wonderful story about these dragon eggs that have to be basically a young person is responsible for hatching the egg and nurturing the young dragon until they're ready to kind of move on to the dimension from which dragons actually live. And I guess that's a good enough plot synopsis of the novel.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away too much. but it's a novel. It's never been done on the stage. Obviously, it has fantasy elements. There's a dragon in it. And so Tucker is going to be adapting this book. And Joan Harrington, our chair, is going to be directing it. And this is going to be a truly magical theatrical experience for children of all ages and families. And
we have some amazing puppetry work that will be done. If for people who saw our production of King Stag a few years ago, very innovative puppetry and several animals that will be featured, but the dragon itself will be a puppet in three different sizes, the last of which will be large enough for our student actor to ride on it. So, the size of an elephant is what they keep telling me. We'll
Which
see.
Which is good, because we did put a casting call out for
Huge
actual dragons.
Dragon. Yeah, we didn't have much luck
they
there.
The three that came weren't really great actors, so we're going with Puppet.
Okay. And we're collaborating with Education for the Arts, so we're very excited to be working with them again. We last collaborated with them on Charlotte's Web. So they will bring the public school students through for an entire week, and then we will be open for the public for 2 weekends. So we're really looking forward to that. Our students love doing theater for youth.
Well, we have just one more show to talk about, and it's called The Wiz.
The Wiz. Of course, The Wiz is the early 1970s classic take on The Wizard of Oz. It was written by Charlie Smalls and with book and lyrics by William Brown. And it's, of course, kind of the contemporary, almost hip-hop evolution of The Wizard of Oz. It was originally on Broadway in the 1970s. Of course, it was made into a film in the 1980s. It starred Diana Ross and Michael Jackson. And most recently, there was a live broadcast of The Wiz live on CBS. Was it CBS?
NBC.
NBC. Just this year. And I'm directing The Wiz in conjunction with my phenomenal colleague from the School of Dance, Monique Haley, who's going to be the choreographer. And I kind of have a different take on The Wiz. One of the things that's really kind of profoundly affected me as a faculty member here, and because I've had a number of students who've had this really unique experience, it's made me think about things in that I've had a number of students who are from an African-American background who were raised by white parents or raised in kind of a white community, whether through foster or whether adoption. And I started thinking about how that story might apply to The Wiz. So our story of The Wiz is about a 16-year-old African-American girl named Dorothy, who isn't necessarily from Kansas. She could be from Detroit. And she's a foster girl, and she's been raised by white parents. So Aunt Em and Uncle Henry are white. And she's been with them for a number of years, and there's a great deal of love, and there's a great deal of support in that relationship, but there's also a great disconnect that they, as much as they love her and care about her, are not really working very hard to raise her cultural awareness as an African-American. And as she's become a teenager, this has become very important to her, mm-hmm. as it is with many people in this particular situation. And so there's a great deal of frustration and potentially anger and miscommunication in her family. And that's what the kind of the driving force in the story is. And her trip to Oz is really her kind of coming to grips with her identity, with who she actually is, and the music and the fun and the ease on down the road. And the world of Oz is kind of a playful and fun and sometimes dark story about a young woman coming to grips with who she actually is. And ultimately, the kind of the theme song, the most well-known song from the show, is probably Home. And ultimately, she needs to bring her experience and her kind of journey back to her parents, and they need to work together to become a family that acknowledges and celebrates the multiculturalism that is their family.
Well, Jay Berkow and Emily Duguay, thank you so much for coming to tell us about the next season of theater at Western Michigan University. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
The full list of shows and information on tickets and ticket packages is available at WMUtheater.com. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me for Weekend Let's Hear It.